New reports are revealing that the enemy is in overdrive, working strategically to lure a generation asleep. So what are we going to do about it as spiritual fathers and mothers to a generation? Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, welcome to the broadcast tonight. It is Tuesday, November the 28th. I want to welcome you to the official broadcast here at End Time Headlines. Again, I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And listen, if you're new to the broadcast and you are in a, you're watching or listening to where you, in which you can comment under the thread or the comment section of whatever platform you're on, let us know in the comment section that you are new and that you're joining us for the first time and where you guys are joining us from. As always, we'd love to hear from you. And again, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to do that today. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can go to your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, just get our app. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go with every headline and every podcast when it's readily available. And of course, guys, before we get started on tonight's broadcast, if you would hit that like button, that share button, that bell notification, this is going to ensure that we push our material out there on these platforms so that they can be seen on these algorithms. I'd really greatly appreciate that if you do that for us. All right, guys, so I want to talk a little bit about the importance of, and listen, if you are a long-term listener or follower of our ministry, you'll know that this is not the first time, probably not the second or third time that we have touched on this subject, but I recognize that every week we get more and more new viewers, new subscribers, new listeners, and perhaps, you know, you've come onto the broadcast and you've become part of our ministry and you've not heard this and you've not heard us discuss this, well, then this is going to be new to you. But if you're a regular viewer, then, you know, I call it sharpening your sword a little bit, because I'm going to continue to emphasize this, because the reason why I talk about this more and more is because we're seeing more data, we're getting more polls come in, we're getting more research and more information, and it's troubling. For example, today, I'm going to talk about this article from DNYUZ. This has been shared by not just DNYUZ, but other outlets as well. And here's what it says, quote, Americans under 30 years of age no longer trust religion. Let me say that one more time. Americans under the age of 30 no longer trust religion. According to this report, now this was an opinion piece, and this individual, this journalist who did this study, did this research, he went out and did all of his independent research. He gathered different sources of information. And after doing this, he discovered that something is happening for Gen Z and the youngest millennials. What he has discovered is that from ages 30 and below, at least 40% of Gen Zs are no longer affiliated with any type of religion. The general consensus is that many younger individuals are now categorizing themselves as nuns, N-O-N-E-S, not nuns as in Catholic nuns, but N-O-N-E-S, or nothing in particular rather than as atheist or agnostic. Ryan Burge, who is the one who's behind this research, discovered that many of these young individuals or these young Americans, when he polled them, pulled in the research, he discovered that, quote, they look at all the religion options and say, quote, I really don't want to pick a side. And that's what nothing in particular is. It's not religious, obviously, but it's also not secular either. It's kind of like, quote, no, thank you. I'll completely pass on the question of religion. So they don't want to be affiliated with any religion at all whatsoever. A new report from the Survey Center on American Life at the American Enterprise Institute calls this formative distrust Nothing that older Americans had greater confidence in political leaders during their childhood years. Quote, if you grew up as I did during the relatively stable Clinton years, for example, you probably have a very different view of political institutions than someone turning 25 years of age today, whose political consciousness may have been formed during the Trump era. So how do we know that Trump would somehow get pulled into this? The report went on to say that for the longest time, most Americans generally respected society's institutions and processes and expected that even if people had different opinions, the adults would kind of take care of things. That has changed for both millennials and Gen Z. I think that was not the world they were raised in, where you had people increasingly boisterously complaining, lobbying accusations around election integrity, and people cheating or not abiding by the rules or conventions of the past. What's more, some religious institutions, now listen to this real carefully, have had high-profile ethical failures around cases of sexual abuse, concealing rather than confronting allegations of wrongdoing among their leadership. Instead of trying to redress these really incredible, painful problems, they made things worse in many instances. Quote, so I think that's a really different environment to come of age and to learn about how these institutions operate and who they operate for. In other words, guys, the bottom line is that we're now seeing an entire generation, 30 years of age and younger, that there's multi-factor issues going on here of why they are no longer defining themselves as religious or relating to themselves as some type of a religious affiliation. Number one is, in some instances, the church has failed them. The church has failed them ethically, morally, biblically, doctrinally. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So all of this, guys, this was the foundation. This was the catalyst of what is leading me to ministering on what I want to minister to today. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20. We're going to start at verse 7. You guys that are watching this, you can see this on your screen. Again, I'm going to be reading from the New King James. I want to read this whole passage from verse 7 to 12, and then we're going to talk about this. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, that's the Apostle Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So he was preaching here. And there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man, somebody say young man, named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. Somebody say a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Verse 10, but Paul went down, fell upon him, and embraced him and said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Verse 11, and now when he had come up, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak. And he departed. Verse 12, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would inspire this word, that you would anoint my lips and the words in which I speak tonight to be effective and impactful to the listeners and to the recipients that it's going forth to bring forth fruit in. I pray that this word would not return void, but it will establish and equip that which it's intended to set forth and do. I pray that you would help me to articulate these words through the Holy Spirit's help, his influence, and his power to be impactful to the generation and to the listeners that are receiving this message today. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and the honor, and it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, guys, so the first thing, when we break down this passage, we see here that the people of God are gathered together and they're breaking bread. They're all here. This would be a what we would call an ecclesia, a gathering, a church gathering, if you would. They're coming together. If Jesus said, "Where there are two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." So there they are, there in the midst of this gathering. The Apostle Paul is the speaker that night. He's getting up. Now, there's not many incidences in the New Testament where you see the Apostle Paul speaking or preaching. Paul was an individual who God greatly used and to impact churches and the lives of many through the writing of his letters, whereas Peter, on the other hand, was more of the boisterous, vocal, powerhouse Pentecostal preacher, if you would, that would get up and preach the gospel. Apollos was more conservative. He was more intellectual. But again, Paul was more, he used the influence of his letters. He would rebuke entire churches with the stroke of a pen. He would set people free with the stroke of a pen. He would do all these things. But in this case, in Acts chapter 20, we see that Paul is actually the speaker that night. And he is speaking, and he's a long-winded preacher. Come on, somebody. So here is Paul preaching, and the Bible says he continued his message until midnight. Come on, he continued his message until midnight. Do I have anybody that's watching or listening today that remembers the days of the all-night prayer meetings? This is something that the younger folks don't know nothing about. They've not been introduced to this. They don't probably do this at your church, but there was a time when we'd had all night prayer meetings. We'd show up at 6 p.m. Eastern or 7 p.m. Eastern or whatever the case may be, and we would all gather together and we would just begin to pray. We'd begin to seek the Lord. We'd begin to seek after him. There was great hunger, great anticipation, and people would just stay and they would tarry and they would linger until something began to take place and begin to happen in the sanctuary. Do I have anyone that's listening today or watching that remembers when there was no clocks that were placed on the back of the wall of the church? There were no cell phones, no smartwatches, and everyone was not staring at these devices and these and places in which they could keep track of time, wondering when the preacher would ever be done so that they could hurry up and get to their favorite restaurants, or that they could hurry up and get in their car and drive home and get in front of their television to watch the game, to watch the basketball game, the football game, the golf game, whatever the game was or whatever it was that they needed to hurry up and get back to watch. Come on. Anybody remember those days? This was before social media, before Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and all these, and YouTube and shorts and et cetera. What about the church lock-ins? Anybody remember that? Remember when the youth would have church lock-ins and they would have someone, they would have two individuals there. They'd have a older man or older woman or someone, you know, that would monitor this, but you'd have all the young people come together and they would just seek the Lord. They would lock themselves in the church and they would seek after God. And I'm telling you, God would show up mightily and wreck the lives of these young people. How many remembers the day of church camps? Come on, I remember church camp. We go out somewhere and you go to a cabin and there was a lineup of speakers that weekend. And it was an amazing weekend. You get up early, you'd go down, you'd get you some breakfast, and then there'd be everybody would fellowship, and then you'd have activities, and then there'd be a speaker come around 11 a.m., and then there would be a great message, an altar call. People's lives would be turned upside down, erect for the power of the Holy Ghost, and then people would go, and they would rest for a little bit, they would eat dinner, they'd come back, and there'd be a night service, and this would go on two or three nights, it'd go on for the whole weekend, and I'm telling you, I know many people that are serving God today and their lives were turned upside down at church camps. They had an encounter with God and they've never been the same since. And I just don't, and I'm not saying that they're not happening today, but I just don't hear them of anymore. The encounters, come on, the hunger that drove you to seek the Lord all night and you never worried about having to be anywhere. Where is that today? Where is that today? So we see here in the book of Acts chapter 20 that the Apostle Paul is at a gathering and he's preaching, and it's now well past midnight. And there in the midst of the gathering, the Bible identifies a man, and it calls him a young man. He is a young man that your Bible says that he began to fall into a deep sleep. In fact, it says that he was overcome by sleep. His name was Eutychus. We're going to get all into this in just a moment. Did you know that according to research, Gen Zs represent the newest wave of university applicants? These are individuals are known because of being tech savvy, hyper connected, and considered the first generation of digital natives. But there's something else that you need to know about Gen Z. Research conducted by Microsoft back in 2015 found that the average attention span of Gen Z individuals was around 8 seconds. Let me say that again. The average attention span of Gen Z is 8 seconds. Why do you think that we saw the explosion of YouTube Shorts, Facebook Reels, and TikTok? Because in the beginning, now they've changed this over time, but in the beginning, you're talking about a 10 second video, 20 second video, 30 second video, because this is the attention span in which you're catering to. So here I found it interesting that you have a young man in the congregation and he's being overtaken by sleep and by slumber. In other words, he's having a hard time keeping his attention span in the congregation. But can I show you something else? Oh, we're going to go deep today. I know many of you guys, I know our audience, and you love these deep teachings. So you're going to love today's message. Let me show you this. In verse 8, it says, there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. Let me say that again. There were many lamps in the upper room in which they were gathered together. Is anyone else out there besides me, have you noticed how the sanctuary of the house of God continues to get darker and darker? Listen, we are getting more and more accustomed to the darkness. And I'm talking about the church, guys. When I say we, God said, if my people that are called by my name, I'm talking about we here. I'm talking about us, the church, the ecclesia. We are entertained by the darkness. We're intrigued by the darkness. We're enlightened by the darkness instead of exposing the darkness. We are entertained by the darkness rather than coming out of the darkness. We are conforming to the darkness rather than disassociating with the darkness. And it's sad that a preacher like myself has to get up every Halloween and talk about the dangers of associating yourself with darkness when the Bible says abstain from every appearance of evil. But see, this is where we're at today, because there is no voice anymore. There is no standard anymore. There is no light. There is no longer a distinction between good and evil and light and darkness. Then this stuff is embraced and it's accepted in the house of God. And it, again, consequently, I'm telling you, I remember the days of going to church services, and you go into the sanctuary and it was lit up, it was bright. But look at the normal now. It's getting darker and darker and darker. And I'm telling you, some of these sanctuaries I go into, you can barely even see your hand in your face when they darken the sanctuary all the way down to the point where you can literally not see anybody around you. So here we have in Acts chapter 20, they're in the house of God. You've got an anointed preacher, an apostle that's speaking. And his message is not a short snippet. It's not a TikTok approved message. It's not a Gen Z approved message. It's not a self-help, humanistic, life coaching message. It is Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, life-changing, powerhouse gospel message. And you hear you have a young man by the name of Eutychus. By the way, in Greek, the name Eutychus means fortunate. Let me say that again. His name literally means fortunate. Oh, come on. Can I plow here for a minute? Listen, there are many young people in this generation that have a father. If you're listening today and you're 30 years or younger, you need to be considered fortunate. Fortunate if, listen to me, you should be considered fortunate if you have a father and mother that serve and fear God. You should be fortunate if you have faithful parents and grandparents that have served the Lord for years. You should be fortunate that you have a godly heritage. You should be fortunate that you have spiritual fathers and mothers that have shaped your life and instructed you in the ways of the Lord. If this is you, you are fortunate to have this, because listen to me, it is a rarity today, and it's more and more young people that are being raised in broken homes. Parents that don't attend church, they don't serve the Lord, and have no relationship with the Lord whatsoever. So if you are in the small percentage of individuals that are still in a whole, wholesome, godly, structured, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit filled, led, come on, an environment in your home with parents that love the Lord, serve the Lord, have a standard, raised you and trained you up in the way in which you should go, has poured into your life, you are fortunate. So here you have this man named Eutychus, a young man. He's fortunate. But something's happening to Eutychus. Well, come on, the gospel's being preached. Something's happening. He's being lured asleep. He's not just dozing off, but he's falling into, your Bible says, a deep sleep. Listen, I got to tell you today that and you know this, but I'm just kind of refreshing your understanding today and let you know the importance of why we as older men and women of God, we have got to make a point to pour into our young people, because the enemy is systematically and strategically luring a generation to sleep, and not just any sleep, a deep sleep. No, come on, not just those who are lost in the world. We're not talking about the world, but we're talking about right here in the body of Christ. This generation, listen to me, is going to have to come together. I'm talking about old and young, men and boys. I'm talking about girls and women. We're going to have to come together with generals and the seasoned saints in the body of Christ coming together if we're going to see, come on, this one last final outpouring of the Holy Ghost to sweep the nations so that the Lord can come back mightily in Jesus' name. Now, in case you wonder what I'm talking about, in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the Lord prophesied through Malachi. The prophet Malachi said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And he will, listen what it says that Elijah the prophet will do. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Did you hear that? So again, the mandate of Elijah coming in the last days is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. So there's going to be this merging of generations together. And this is where we got to get to, guys, if we are going to see again one final outpouring in the nation. I'm going to talk about America, because that's where we started out with, was America, and that's where we're going to end with. And it's not just applying to America. And if you're listening and you live outside of America, this applies to you too. But being that this study was dealing with Americans, that's kind of where I'm resting my hat on today. Okay, but if the shoe fits, you wear it. But if we're going to see another final outpouring and our young people, and again, Joel said it's coming, but I want to be on board with it. I don't want to miss this. I want to be responsible for being one of those spiritual fathers that are contending for this, that helps pour into the next generation. Come on, like Paul was doing here. Look, I'm going to have to go a little bit deeper here because I kind of feel like people need more elaboration. Listen, the older generation was accustomed to at least me. When I grew up in the church, I've been serving the Lord for 23 years, and I grew up accustomed to the wonder working miracles of God. We understood that it was We understood and was acquainted with the healing power of Jesus, with signs, wonders, and miracles. We understood the power of faith, casting out devils and laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. We understood holding fast to the message of the cross, the blood, and repentance. But now, guys, as time has gone on, we see a time has come where we have a generation that are being lured fast asleep with our messages. They're being led fast asleep with messages coming from behind the pulpit that is void of power. It is void of influence. It is void of prayer. It is void of devotion. It is void of relationship with Christ and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It again, the pulpits are being filled with self-help coaches and humanistic seminars and these quick 15-minute TED Talks that are not transforming lives in Jesus' name. And what this is doing is it's causing a generation to be lured asleep. They're losing interest in going to church. They're losing interest in anything to do with Christianity. And again, it's not just because of the watering down of the gospel, but let me get back to that article that we talked about at the beginning, the opening of this program. It is also, they're looking upon the older generation and they're seeing the failures. They're seeing the lack of integrity. They're seeing the lack of morals. They're seeing hypocrisy. They're hearing one thing preached, but they're seeing lives that are totally contrary to what these people are preaching behind the pulpits and what the Word of God says. They hear a message about a Jesus that heals, delivers, and sets free, but they're not seeing anybody get healed. They're not seeing anybody get delivered, and they're not seeing anybody getting set free. So again, it's an empty message, an empty gospel, and it's an empty religion. So the enemy has strategically come in because there is a void. He's coming in and he's filling the void. He's filling the void for this generation, and he's filling it with entertainment and appetites of the flesh. They have mobile devices at their fingertips all hours of the day. Here comes the drug epidemics are swallowing an entire generation by the multitudes. They are inundated with so much to appease the flesh that they're left with no desire for God at all, because this is filling the void. And again, this is why I believe that Jesus warned about this. Let me show you this in scripture. Guys have seen me or heard me preach about this before, but I'm going to pull it up because it's very relevant to what we're talking about here. This is why I believe Jesus warned about this in Luke 21:34. He says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly, because it's going to come as a snare upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. And therefore, watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Translation, he's talking to the church here. Guys, just because you go to church and punch the clock doesn't mean that you have oil in your lamp and that your fire is burning. I understand and have gone through seasons in my own life. I know it's hard to believe. Brother Ricky has gone through seasons in my own life where I've gone through the motions, punched the clock, did my duty, but I knew that my oil was running low and that my fire was dwindling out. So my prayers begin to change. My prayers begin to change to desperation. I begin to go into the secret place. I begin to go into my prayer closet. And in my time of prayer, I begin to say, "Lord, I recognize that my oil is running low and I need more oil in my lamp. I recognize that the fire is starting to burn out. I pray that you'd set me afire once again. Lord, fill me afresh with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God, set me up for an encounter with you, God. Lord, put me in a service where I need to go to get impacted by the glory of God. Lord, let me have an encounter. Let me have something that's going to wreck me, change me, and transform me in your presence, because I cannot and will not and refuse to go through the motions and be lukewarm and be not either hot or cold, because you said that you'll spew me out of your mouth. I'm trying to tell you that we've got an entire generation that's being exposed to a form of godliness that denies the very power thereof. There's a new documentary out called Sensationism. And it literally is the epitome of what Paul warned to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said the time would come when they would have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the very power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we're seeing. And this has become forefront. This is what's become popular, is a form of religion that has no power to save, no power to deliver, no power to heal, no power to raise the dead, no power to cast out devils. Are you kidding me? No, thank you. No wonder Paul said, from such people turn away. So guys, I get it. As parents, as grandparents, we have our work cut out for us. We've got to be assured that we get our children and grandchildren in the presence of the Lord. We got to get them into the house of God. We got to get them into gatherings, into prayer meetings, exposed to the Word of God. And for heaven's sake, we've got to get them in the presence of the Holy Spirit, where there is signs, wonders, and miracles, and they see the manifestations of the things that the Holy Bible said, these signs shall follow those that believe. I'm trying to tell you, this generation needs to be exposed to the power of the Holy Ghost. They need to be exposed to the healing power of Jesus, signs, wonders, miracles. They need to hear our testimonies. They need to hear the testimonies from you, mother, from you, father, you, grandfather, you, grandmother, you, aunt, you, uncle, you, nephew, you, niece, your cousin. They need to hear how God set you free, how he healed your body, how he brought you out of bondage, brought you out of the miry clay and set your feet upon the rock. They need to hear how he set you free from drugs and addictions and alcohol and pornography. They need to be exposed to the core teachings of Jesus Christ and the full gospel. They need to hear about the blood of Jesus. They need to hear about hell, the gospel of repentance, the cross. They need to be exposed to the manifested glory of God. They need to be put in an environment and an atmosphere where it is electrified, where the very tangible presence of God is, that will draw their hearts to an altar and repentance, and they'll never be the same. Come on, today we're luring them into a building filled with smoke, filled with mirrors, filled with protocol, filled with programs, filled with light shows and entertainment. We're catering to a form of godliness, but giving them and presenting them with no power to set individuals free. And because of this, we have the perfect concoction for people to not only be lured asleep, but to fall into a deep sleep. Let me go back to the text here. So again, Eutychus represents the young man. He falls, he represents this generation that's fallen to a sleep, a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. In fact, it resulted in him falling from a third story building where he died. The Bible says he died. But the Apostle Paul, this is what's so powerful, guys. The Apostle Paul, the Bible says in verse 10, he went down. He went down and fell upon him and embraced him. And he says to everybody around him, don't trouble yourselves, for this boy's life is in him. Now remember, your Bible says he was dead. What happened? What happened in verse 10? I'm going to tell you what happened. What happened in verse 10 was the same thing that happened in your Bible in 1 Kings 17. In 1 Kings 17, there was a woman who had a son, and the son became very sick. And the sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in his body. But the Bible says in 1 Kings 17, 18, that Elijah the prophet went into the room. He went into his bedroom. The Bible says In verse 19, and he said unto her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he stayed. And he laid him on his own bed. And he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on this widow with whom I lodged by killing her son? And he, listen what it says. He stretched himself out upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child soul come back unto him. Verse 22, and then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he was revived. Guys, do you know in the book of James, it says Elijah was a man likened unto us, but it says that he prayed unto the Lord that it would shut up the rains, and it shut up for 3.5 years or 42 months. Elijah was a man just like us, but he knew how to touch God. He had a prayer life. He had a power. He had the power of the Holy Spirit residing upon him because he had a prayer life, had a devotional life. He had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that we have an older generation that knew how to seek the Lord, knew had a devotional life, had a prayer life. They operated in the power and signs and wonders. Notice that Elijah took the boy from her arms and he carried him up to his bed, his place, his upper room, his prayer closet, the place where he would seek the Lord. Come on. That's why I'm telling you, environment is everything, friend. I'm telling you, environment is everything. I can take someone and they have trouble receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They have trouble receiving from God. They have trouble seeking the Lord. They have trouble experiencing any encounter with God. And I begin to discover that many times it's because the environment that they're accustomed to. Because I can show you in the Bible where Jesus was not permitted to do many miracles, lest he healed a couple people, and he attributed it to the environment. The entire environment was filled with offense and unbelief. And because of offense and unbelief, it polluted the whole environment, it suppressed it, and it hindered people from getting what they came and expected to get from God. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, some of y'all need to make some residential changes from the church that you're attending. You need to change churches because you're going to a dead, dry, dead form of godliness church that is going through the motions, going through the programs, going through the routines, but God, that nobody's getting saved, nobody's getting delivered, nobody's getting healed. There's no demons being cast out. You need to change churches. You need to make exchange. Come on, you need to put a for sale sign out, and you need to hit the road and find you a place that, come on, like the New Testament church, where you could go in. There's an expectancy. There is miracles, signs, wonders. There's people. There's elders praying. There is the widows praying. There is the leadership is praying. The men of God are praying. The women of God are praying. And they're all hungry. They're all in expectation. And they're believing for a move of God. So it's no surprise that the first thing Elijah did was he took the young boy from his arms of his own mother. And you say, that's kind of cruel. No, because I can take you to the New Testament where there was a young girl that died, and Jesus went into the room where she lay dead, and he kicked out the mother. He kicked out the father. He kicked everybody out except for those who had faith to believe that the young girl could live and not die. He left Peter, James, and John in there. And when everybody was kicked out of the room, he then raised her from the dead. So Elijah understood this. He takes the young boy from her arms, and he takes him away, and he gets the young boy in an environment that is conducive for God to move. So he was there, he began to seek the Lord, and God raised this young boy up from the dead. I come by to tell you today that it's not a coincidence that the Apostle Paul, after this young boy by the name of Eutychus, who means fortunate, it was unfortunate that he was lured asleep to the point where he fell out of a window and died, but he was fortunate enough to be in the presence of a man of God who knew how to touch God. Golly, guys, I could drop the microphone right there and go home right there and call it a day. I got to say that again because some of y'all didn't get that. Oh, come on. I said that it was unfortunate for the young man by the name of Eutychus to be in a place where he was lured asleep to the point where he fell out of a window and was dead. But he was fortunate enough, come on, to be in an environment where there was a man of God present there that knew how to touch God. Oh, what am I talking about? What are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, there's some of you that you need to be thankful that you are fortunate enough that you, the only reason why you're still standing today, the only reason why you're still alive today, the only reason why you didn't die in that drug overdose, you didn't die in that alcoholic binge, you didn't die in that drunk driving accident. You didn't die being stupid and playing around and clowning around with those people that you shouldn't have been around. The only reason why you didn't die from sexual immorality by catching something that you can't rub off or you can't get a pill for or a shot for, you need to be thankful, is because you were in an environment and you were fortunate enough to be in a family with a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandmother that prayed, interceded, and knew how to touch heaven. Who am I talking to today? Come on, I'll be the first to tell you, the only reason why I'm standing here today preaching the gospel to you today is because I was fortunate enough to have a heritage of people in my family that knew how to touch God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew how to intercede for me. They knew how to plead the blood of Jesus for me. They knew how to rebuke devils for me. They knew how to seek the Lord. Come on, even if it meant going all night, even into midnight. Come on, Peter needs to be fortunate that he had a church that was praying for him and interceding for him, because he was the next one to be put on death row to get his head taken off from him, because James was beheaded and Peter was next. But Peter was fortunate enough that he had an interceding church that was interceding and praying for him, that God sent an angel and delivered him from his prison cell. Come on, are y'all receiving this today? So it's not a coincidence that Paul went down. He said, guys, I'm going to stop the meeting for a second. I'm not done preaching yet. It's midnight. I know we've been here for 4 or 5 hours, but I've not gotten to my amen yet, and I'm going to close and give my altar call. If you excuse me just for a minute, a young man just fell out of the window and has died. Now I'm going to show you that it's not about preaching the gospel only, and it's not about articulate words, but I'm going to show you that the gospel came not by demonstration of word only, but by the demonstration of the power and the Holy Ghost. So Paul began to put in action what he's been preaching. Come on. And he went down, and the Bible says that through the power of the Holy Ghost, he raised this young man from the dead. And the Bible says that he brought him. So Paul raised him from the dead. Your Bible says that he went back up, back into the sanctuary, and continued to preach his message. Could you imagine? Think about this, guys. Think about that. We just read over this stuff. So he continues to preach the gospel. And the Bible says that when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even until daybreak. So this was literally an all night meeting, and he departed. So Paul preaches his message. He's eating bread. He's fellowshipping. Surely they're all sitting there talking about the miracle that just took place. And in verse 12, it says, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Whoa. So here's the bottom line, guys. Here's the bottom line. The enemy is working overtime to lure our sons and daughters, our grandsons and granddaughters, into a sleep, and not just a sleep, but a deep sleep. He's luring them away from the house of God. He's luring them away from prayer. He's luring them away from intercession. He's luring them away from the things of God. He's luring them away from the desires of God. He's pulling them away from the things of God and filling that void with everything, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So what are we going to do about it? What are we as fathers, as mothers, as grandfathers, grandmothers? We have to, number one, we have to lead by example. Number two, we've got to lead by demonstration. Number three, we got to get them into an environment that's conducive for them to see these things, to let them know there is a God that still heals. There is still a God that saves. There is still a God that delivers. There is still a God that expels demons. Come on, that is our mandate. Are you listening to me today? So let's, come on, I'm going to close here in just a minute with prayer. Before we do that, I want to get this out of the way so that we can pray right into this. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Get our free app. Download it today. It's on Apple. It's on Android. You're going to get messages like this. You're going to get all of our headlines. Once you download the app, hit yes to push notifications, you're going to be good to go. Guys, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it informs you, it equips you, it teaches you, all these things. If you consider this your home church, whatever your relationship is with our ministry, we want to give you the opportunity to partner with us. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way to do it. Or you can go endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Or you can give by check or money order. You can make it out to Endtime Headlines. That's going to be P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, we appreciate your partnership to our ministry. Everything is free. Our messages are free. The app is free. Everything. All we ask you to do is you pray about becoming a partner, and God will bless you when you're obedient to that. So guys, listen, if you're watching today, you're listening today, this message resonates to you in any way. Maybe you're the Eutychus, and maybe you're the Paul in this message. We want to pray today that the Holy Spirit will minister to you through prayer today. Come on, let's pray right now. Father, Lord, I have delivered this word to the best that I know how, the best of my ability. Lord, through the gifts that you've given me, through the knowledge, the recall, through the reading of the word, the knowledge of the word, through the Holy Spirit, I pray that this message would impact, it would equip, it would resonate in the lives of the listeners and recipients. I pray that if there's be individuals here that, Lord, they've recognized by their own admission, by self-examination, that they have allowed themselves to be lured asleep, fast asleep, into a deep sleep by all the trinkets and the bells and whistles and the lurings of the flesh that the enemy has presented to them, the carrot that's been dangling on the stick. Lord, he's lured them into this deep sleep with the carousing, the cares of this life, like Luke 21 talks about. Lord, if that's them today, I pray that the Holy Spirit, God, would bring conviction today, that they would begin to repent, they'd begin to turn from these things. And Lord, I pray that they begin to lift up their hands, lift up their eyes, lift up their mouths, and begin to cry out unto you and ask that they would be delivered of this lukewarmness. Lord, that you would fill us with fresh oil and light those wicks and light the fires again in our lives. And may we be red hot and fervent for you in Jesus' name, God, in Jesus' name. Why? Because Lord, we don't want to be caught asleep and slumbered in the last days at your coming. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Listen, if you're listening today, maybe you're the Apostle Paul of this message, and the Lord's really dealt with you today. He's really dealt with you, and you want to step up, and you want to say, I want to be the father that God's called me to be. I want to be the mother that God's called me to be. I want to be that grandfather, that grandmother. I want to be that peer, that influence, that spiritual father, that spiritual mother, whatever the case may be, that Eutychus is looking up to, that needs me to influence them, to pour into them, to give them the testimonies, to share with them the gospel, to show them the demonstration, the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, that I pray for those individuals right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord, as they seek you, as they desire to be more on fire for you, to be used by you to influence the younger generation, I pray that you'd honor this prayer today. Lord, help us all. Lord, I include myself in this prayer. God, help us to step up, step out, and do what you've called us to be. And be that spiritual mother and our spiritual fathers in this day, in this age, to this generation. God, help us, Lord, help those. We pray that we would be examples in conduct, in words, in actions, in deeds, in lifestyle, and demonstration. I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would be used through us in our lives in Jesus' name. For you said the gospel came not by word only, but power and demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor today. And it's in Jesus' name all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, again, I thank you so much. I appreciate you taking time out on this Tuesday, November the 28th, to be a part of this program. and this message. Again, don't forget to share this message. Hit the like button, hit that bell notification, push it out there so others can enjoy this just as much as you have. And again, don't forget, guys, we're on every major social media platform. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on we're also on Telegram. You can find a lot of our stuff that's uncensored there on Telegram that doesn't get censored like it does on these main social media outlets. So be sure to follow us there as well. Of course, we're on Rumble. That is an alternative streaming platform versus YouTube. To my knowledge, I've never had anything censored there. Anything we've ever preached, I've never been flagged, censored, or anything there on Rumble. So I want to encourage you again, go there. It's always good to have a backup. I've always, you know, said to have a good backup. That's why we tell you to get the app. That's why we tell you don't rely on social media alone. Go to these alternative places so you can keep up with our ministry as well. So listen, we're going to sign off for today. We'll be off tomorrow, which will be the 29th of Wednesday, and we'll be right back here on Thursday the 30th. Same time, same place, same channel, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we'll have another great program ready and lined up for you. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a couple days. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.